You're listening to KTOO. This is Claire Strimple with local and statewide news. Senator Lisa Murkowski introduced a bill today that would keep the name Denali on North America's highest peak. Murkowski made her case on the Senate floor.
This massive mountain commands a reverent name, a steadfast name, not the name of an individual, a person who comes and goes, who may have had an impact for a brief moment in time. But this is ageless, timeless, the great one.
It's pretty easy for a senator to introduce a bill. At her office later, Murkowski said she'd raise the issue to each of the other senators. Some of them, she says, have geographic names back home they'd like to change too.
I'm just going to take it every day and basically create a movement.
Denali stems from the Koyukon Athabascan language. In his inaugural address last month, President Trump said he was changing the name back to Mount McKinley, the mountain's official moniker during the 20th century and into the 21st.
And we will restore the name of a great president, William McKinley, to Mount McKinley, where it should be and where it belongs.
Trump then signed an executive order giving his Interior Secretary 30 days to make the change and also to update the official geographic names database. With that, Trump rekindled a cultural crusade Alaskans fought for 100 years. The Alaska legislature passed a resolution last week calling for the name to remain Denali. State lawmakers passed a similar measure in 1975. The request languished for decades at the U.S. Board of Geographic Names. Senator Dan Sullivan of Alaska is a co-sponsor of Murkowski's bill, but getting many other Republicans in Congress on board won't be easy because they'd be going against the wishes of President Trump. Lawmakers are looking closely at Governor Mike Dunleavy's plan to create a State Department of Agriculture. Dunleavy issued an executive order proposing the new department in December. As Alaska Public Media Capital reporter Eric Stone reports, Dunleavy's proposal would split out the existing Division of Agriculture from the Department of Natural Resources.
Dunleavy's plan would add 13 new administrative and IT positions, including a cabinet-level commissioner. And to start, it would handle essentially the same functions as the current division: farm loans, land leases, marketing, scientific research, and so on. Natural Resources Commissioner John Boyle presented the concept to House and Senate committees on Wednesday. DNR is a $173 million agency with a wide variety of responsibilities, dealing with everything from mining and oil and gas leasing to wildfire management and state parks. Boyle says supply chain interruptions during the pandemic pushed the Dunleavy administration to make food security a bigger policy priority. And he says creating a cabinet-level department would force the state to focus on growing the agriculture sector on a long-term basis.
Sure, right now you've got a commissioner that loves ag, you've got a governor that loves ag, but in 2 years that could completely change, and then ag might not have its voice or might not have its champion as much anymore. And so this is really a way to leave that lasting legacy.
Farmers and agriculture groups testified in support of the new department. Here's Alaska Farm Bureau President Scott Mungridge.
With improved access to lands, investment in research, development of the diverse climate-suited crops, we can significantly increase the availability of locally grown food.
Creating the 13 new Department of Agriculture positions would cost the state some $2.7 million, and the 37 positions slated to move out of DNR would cost another $7.2 million. And Boyle says he's not planning to propose corresponding cuts to the existing DNR budget. But the state is, of course, reckoning with a budget deficit and a number of other pressing needs. Senator Matt Klayman, an Anchorage Democrat, says he's skeptical, especially as students, teachers, and parents plead with lawmakers to boost public school funding.
How do I make the case to them and say, this year, it is so important that we fund this new Department of Agriculture that we need to take $2.7 million away from what we could put toward education and put that toward this new department so that we're set up for the next governor a year and a half?
Other lawmakers, though, on both sides of the aisle, argue the price tag is worth it. Palmer Republican Senator Shelley Hughes chaired a 36-member food security task force that recommended creating an agriculture department.
I would say if not now, when, and things are unsure. But I would also point to the fact we are talking about an education funding need in the hundreds of millions of dollars. And here we're talking about a couple million of dollars.
The new department will start work in July unless lawmakers pass a resolution opposing the executive order by mid-March. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
Love comes in all shapes and sizes. It came in small packages at the state capitol today as local preschoolers passed out Valentines to lawmakers. KTOO's Jamie Deep has more.
Preschoolers, childcare providers, and parents flanked the hallways leading into the House and Senate chambers. The children gave handmade Valentines to lawmakers as they filed in. Association for Education of Young Children Executive Director Blue Scheibler explained their mission in the Capitol lobby beforehand.
There's people in this building that just do really boring work all day, and they don't get a lot of cheer and Valentines. And so your job is to cheer them up today by giving them one of these cool Valentines. And you can say, Happy Valentine's Day.
Scheibler says this is a longstanding tradition in Juneau. Their message? To have a heart for kids. She says they're looking for policy-level support for childcare across the state.
The childcare sector is struggling. The cost of care keeps going up and up and up, and operators can't pass those costs on to parents because childcare is already really hard to afford for them. And so our work fundamentally is in trying to help lawmakers understand that public subsidy is needed to help childcare businesses thrive.
The visit comes as lawmakers are hashing out education policy with Governor Mike Dunleavy. The House Education Committee is currently considering House Bill 69, which includes a permanent increase to education funding. Representative Andy Story, a Juneau Democrat, loved seeing the children.
It's just a really energy boost because you see those little people, and that's who we're working for up here at the Capitol.
Story co-chairs the House Education Committee and says she's keeping them in mind as she works through education policy this year.
It means that we'll be doing smart education funding policy where it needs to be a permanent increase and it needs to be inflation-proof for the next few years.
Michelle Adams is one of the parents in the hallway. She says she was glad the children had the chance to go into the Capitol.
The preschool kids having this type of learning experience is just phenomenal. To like be there, not just read the stories about it and hear the words, but actually be there. That was amazing.
Her kid, 3-year-old Isabella Adams Hall, wore a red dress with a matching bow in her hair. She got to shake Representative Dan Sadler's hand after delivering a bright pink Valentine.
Did you have fun today?
Yeah.
The group dropped a final batch of love notes off at the governor's office, who was too busy to meet them in person. After a well-deserved snack break, they made their way back to their respective daycares across the city. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep.
It's Valentine's Day in Tlingit Ani, and two Tlingit language learners, who have their own love story, shared their love language with KTOO's Yvonne Crumry.
The Jameses, Hitli'ish Lyle and Gathkith'ash Colleen, almost met at a party. Lyle led a group of dancers in, and Colleen was impressed.
I claimed at the table, there's my husband.
She approached his father at the party and asked if he was single. Lyle's father went and told him.
And I never saw him.
I almost got the nerve to go up to her table and talk to her. But as soon as I got close, I got scared. And I walked out. So I actually didn't get to meet her that evening.
Lyle's father came back to her to say Lyle had gotten nervous. Colleen said at the time she was busy with work, school, and raising her kids. So she told herself she didn't have time for romance anyway.
Couple months passed. My best friend invited me out to go dancing. And so I did. And we ran into each other again on the dance floor and gave him my number. And the rest is history.
Now, after decades of being together, they use Tlingit phrases to show their love for each other.
One of my work, I'll send her a text of, and what that translates to is, I love you very much, my precious wife. And to translate it even more is, you are the one I choose to stand with very much.
When I first started receiving messages in the language, it made me feel precious, you know, it made me feel special. I know that it's authentic, and it feels really beautiful.
a group of University of Alaska Southeast students saw the value of saying you care for someone in Tlingit too. They made a list of other terms of endearment. Here's Lyle reading some of them.
I love you. Teh, heart. Achcha, my sweetheart.
And to express care for the people you love outside of romantic relationships, Lyle has some phrases too.
I'in achain means it's like I believe in you, and then ituyeti is it in you.
And Colleen says those affirmations apply to anyone learning Tlingit. She echoed the words of her teacher, who says the language belongs to everybody.
It's been part of the land and part of who we are since time immemorial, and that feels really good. So keep trying.
Yeah, don't be afraid to make mistakes.
Good advice in language learning and in love. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Krumrie, and...
Happy Valentine's Day.
Alaska's Emergency Operations Center has canceled an annual test of the system responsible for alerting Alaskans about potential tsunamis. Each month, the National Tsunami Warning Center tests its system that alerts the Coast Guard, FEMA, and other entities to tsunami activity. But once a year, the test goes further, and the warning is broadcast on public radio stations, television stations, and residents' cell phones. That usually happens in late March, around the anniversary of the deadly 1964 earthquake and tsunami that struck Alaska. But the test has been canceled for this year. Officials with the Tsunami Warning Center, the National Weather Service headquarters in Alaska, and the state all agreed the warning wasn't needed this year. Still, they emphasized the importance of regularly testing the system to be sure it and the communities who rely on it are ready if a tsunami does happen. It's 24 degrees in Juneau and sunny, with more sun coming tomorrow. You're listening to KTOO.